Our learning is sponsored anonymously in honor of the safety and protection of our soldiers and the safe returning of our hostages. We are going to discuss about what happens when somebody finds chametz during Pesach. What should they do? It's a very common question. It happens throughout the Chol HaMoed, potentially on Yom Tov and the like. What do we do? So we have a general machlokes, an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah as how we destroy chametz. What is the mitzvah of how to destroy chametz? According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is in Mer Pesachim on 21a, he says that the mitzvah is ein bi'ur chametz al b'sreifa. The only way is through burning in fire. The Chachamim argue that you can pulverize it and throw it in the wind or something. Other methods can also be a way of how to destroy it. Mechaber brings that there's both ways are possible how to destroy the chametz. Simon 445 and Or Chaim Sif 1. However, the Rama writes that the minhag, the custom, is to specifically burn the chametz. And as we know, that everybody burns the chametz on Erev Pesach before the time of when the chametz is actually aser. Mishnah Berurah quotes many poskim and say that if you discover the chametz on after Erev Pesach, from after the sixth hour, or on Pesach itself, we should be extra stringent to specifically burn the chametz at that point, as opposed to trying to destroy it in other methods. Now, if you don't have the ability to destroy chametz in another method, because you don't have fire, so there's no reason to delay or some long period of time, you should destroy the chametz in any quick way that you can, like flushing it down the toilet or throwing it in some hefker place or like breaking it up and throwing it in hefker place. Now, let's talk about when you find chametz on Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov or Yom Tov Sheni. So Chol HaMoed is when we're allowed to do work. So therefore, anytime you find the chametz on Chol HaMoed, we have to destroy the chametz immediately. And that's that. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, you try to burn it. As we said, because it's after the time of the Isser, certainly we should make an even a bigger effort lechachila initially to burn the chametz. If you find the chametz over on Yom Tov, so the problem is that now on Yom Tov, chametz is muktzeh. Because it's muktzeh, you're not allowed to handle it, you're not allowed to move it around. And even not moving around, you want to burn it in its place, then also you're not allowed to do, because you can't do malacha of hara, of fire, unless it's ochel nefesh, or, you know, transferring fire and the like. Here, you're not. It's not ochel nefesh, it's not for food preparation. And therefore, you can't do either of those two things. Therefore, what should you do? You have to cover it with a vessel, you cover it on top, so that it's not visible, and that you're not going to come and inadvertently touch or eat it or the like. Immediately after Yom Tov, in other words, once Chol HaMoed starts or the like, you then would take the chametz immediately and you would burn it. That is what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch 446 in the first sif. Okay, now, what if you've discovered chametz on Yom Tov Sheni? Chametz you discovered on the second day of Yom Tov. The second day of Yom Tov is only rabbinical, and there are many leniencies that apply to the second day of Yom Tov as over of the first day. Consensus of poskim, as the Mishnah Berurah brings down, is that if we already recited Bittul, this is the Mishnah Berurah Siman 446 Sifkatin 8. If you already nullified the chametz, so mina Torah, you were mevatel the chametz. Then since that is not necessarily, you don't have necessarily a mitzvah in a Torah to destroy it, you would just cover it and wait till the second day Yom Tov ends and then destroy it. However, if it was that it became chametz on Yom Tov itself, right? So in such a case, or if you didn't nullify the chametz, so then in such a case, both of those cases, you would need to burn it, not burn it, but destroy it on Yom Tov Sheni itself. And the Alter Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch of the Alter Rebbe, again in Siman 446, in Sivvav, he also says that if it became chametz on Pesach, right, L'chora also, if you didn't do bittul to it, then, yes, you should have to destroy it. It's mashma that if it wasn't nullified before Pesach, you can't destroy it on Pesach. But if it became chametz on Pesach, or L'chora, if it was not, there was no bittul ahead of time, l'chora, so then you need to destroy it on Yom Tov Sheni, just like in Mishnah Berurah. However, El Tereba adds that you should try to avoid a form of destroying with fire, because that's more severe form. Better have a goy do it, or throw it down the toilet, or carry a mukso with their shino. Something where you're trying to avoid as much malacha, as much chilul Yom Tov is possible. You don't want to really, you know, desecrate Yom Tov, even though that on the second hand you do want to destroy it, even though it's Yom Tov Sheni, if you didn't do bittul on it. But the less amount of chilul Yom Tov is possible. Now, the question that we'll discuss is when you recite a bracha when you're destroying the chametz. So let's say you found, so how much chametz are we talking about? So to be exact, you need to actually find a kazayas of chametz, an olive size of chametz. We're talking according to, let's say, the biblical share of a kazayas, Reb Chaim Noh, the Shir Torah basically says it's 27 grams, an ounce, more or less. Yeah? So if it was less than an ounce, you don't make a bracha, it was less than an ounce, if it was less than a kazayas. But if it was, then you would. What's the bracha you make? You say the bracha, the same bracha you make on the night of when you do bedikas chametz, al biur chametz, on destroying of the chametz. Some hold that if you recited the bracha before Pesach on bedikas chametz, there is no need to make a new bracha on the new chametz that you discovered during Pesach. That's the view of, let's say, the Prima Gadim, quoted in the Mishnah Berurah Simin 435, Sivkot in 5. However, certainly if the chametz was less than a kazayis, it wasn't even a kazayis in size, no blessing is recited. Similarly, if it wasn't chametz gamar, if it were not talking about real chametz, we're just talking about there's a taste of chametz inside, but it's not officially that size, so that's not enough. You have to destroy it, yes, but you don't make a bracha on it. Now, if a person sold their chametz to a goy, which is a common snare, which happens nowadays, people sell the chametz ahead of time. Since they sold the chametz ahead of time, so the question is, now that I'm finding chametz, who says that this chametz even belongs to me? Who says I need to do anything, whether I found it on Chol HaMoed, whether I found it in Yom Tov, whether I found Yom Tov Sheni, what difference does it make? It doesn't belong to me, right? So lechor, that shouldn't, right? If I did sell the chametz, right? So the Shevet Levi discusses this question, and he says the following. He says, it's interesting. He says, I'll give you, he says, there's three approaches how to look at this question. I'll just mention two of them. So he says, one approach is that indeed, yes, it was sold by to the goy, and it doesn't belong to me. Therefore, since it doesn't belong to me, I have no problem with Balyer or Bal Matzah. I can't, however, leave it lying around the house. So what do I need to do? I need to pick it up quickly and put it in a cabinet. Now, if it's Yom Tov, I can't carry it because it's Muksa. So if it's Chol HaMoed, I'd put it in the cabinet wherever all the sold chametz is and put it there. And if it's on Yom Tov, I have to cover it with the vessel until it's Chol HaMoed. So that's simply the svara. That's what you do. He says, what about we have a different problem? That there's a rivash, one of the Rishonim, he says that if you find chametz on a street in the public domain, you're not allowed to pick it up because you don't want it to lie on the floor, because that could be that you're acquiring it from Hefker, you're acquiring it from and making it become owned for you at that moment. He says, well, that won't apply over here by the goy's chametz, because you're not acquiring it, you don't want to see his chametz, so you're just putting it somewhere else, so that we have no concern there. So that's one approach, and it seems to be very straightforward, and he says you could rely on that. And that's also the view of the Har Tzvi. He also says that approach, found chametz on Pesach, you already sold your chametz, it's lying around somewhere in your house. It was part of the mechira. Don't worry, take it and put it in the place where the goy's chametz is, and that's that. The Shevet Levi brings another approach. He says, you know what, you could also take the approach that you're allowed and should destroy it. Let's say it's Yom Tov, burn it. And he says, what about the fact that it was sold to a goy, then you're stealing from the goy by you destroying it. He says, not necessarily, because when we're talking about destroying the goy's chametz, what do we refer to? We're talking about chametz that, what happens? The goy buys the chametz from us, but he doesn't buy it in the full amount. After Yom Tov, assumably he's going to give all the money, although it's fully his already during Yom Tov. But, you know, what normally happens is that they end up retracting on the sale afterwards. They sell it back. We buy it back from them. The rabbi buys it back. So that's generally what happens. But if the goy wants to go through with the sale, so you'll owe him money. Fine. So stealing from a goy is like when you're not planning to pay it back. But here you're more than willing to say, oh, well, I have to pay him this amount of money of the chametz I destroyed that belonged to him. Fine, no problem. So that's not really stealing. And we find such an opinion in the poskim. And therefore, in that aspect, you're fine. However, is it really not covered by the sale? I mean, okay, you want to destroy it, go ahead, but what's the need? So it could be that there's a doubt if the sale really countered and covered those things. And I'll give you some cases when we definitely would be concerned that maybe it wasn't included in the sale. So let's say, you know, generally the contracts that they, when they sell the chametz, they're very inclusive. They're including things which could be almost, it would sound, I don't want to say far-fetched, but something where it's a bit stretching. For example, some of the contracts they'll say they include chametz that might arrive in the middle of Pesach, that were on the way to, the Yid ordered it and it didn't arrive yet. It could be included in that. Or the like. So maybe chametz that is going to be gifted in the future or something that could be included in the sale. So it's hard to tell, you know, each shtar, what is written in it, what it would really include, what it can't halachically include. But there definitely would be some cases at the very least which are highly leveled doubts if they're included in the sale. So now if chametz became chametz of a yid on Pesach for some reason, on wheat had water on it, turned to chametz on Pesach, that's not included in the sale. So then there's nothing to talk about. You gotta destroy it, right? Or let's say the chametz was in your car. You found a big candy bar or something like that, a chametz, you know, hamantaschen in your car, and it wasn't part of the sale. You know, you didn't sell the chametz of your car. Maybe you did, but let's say you didn't, or you didn't think you did. So those things you should destroy. You know, if it's very small, less than a kazayas, very small, that's another thing. But let's say you found something significantly big. So that could not be that it maybe wasn't part of the sale. Let's say you were traveling. So you sold the chametz in your house, but then you found something in your suitcase or something like that. Maybe that's not at all included in the sale of the chametz. Let's say you were gifted chametz on Pesach. Someone gave you a closed gift after they left. You opened it up. Non-religious Jew gave you a gift. And it was chametz. So there you go. These are things that seemingly are not covered by the sale that the goy sold, that when you sold the chametz goy, they were not part of it. None of those things were included in the sale. So because of that, or something that arrived in the mail later on, maybe it is included in the sale, maybe it's not. At the very least, we could say that many of those cases are gray area or doubt. And therefore, in those cases, it would be proper and seemingly the obvious thing that is required is you must get rid of those chametz at the soonest available time you're allowed to. And because, you know, generally people do sell their chametz, and we're going to have some doubts as to if the sold chametz was needed to be covered or not, generally we don't need to make a brocha for that reason alone. Let's go through some of the doubts. Question is, if it's a kazayas of full chametz or not, that's one possible. You don't make a brocha if there's no kazayas of full chametz. Number two, maybe the bittul covered it or some. Not the bittul, but the mechira, the sale covered it, or maybe it was included in the sale, maybe it wasn't. So these are doubts, and therefore it's better to leave a bracha out, and we could follow like prima godim in such a case, but just destroy it at the first available time. Everyone should have a freilichen and kosher Pesach.